The Eternal bless you and keep you. The Eternal make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Eternal lifteth his countenance upon you and give you peace. Now those are the words that were given by God to Moses to instruct the priesthood how to bless or put a blessing on the children of Israel. What I want to draw your attention to is the Eternal make his face shine upon you. What does it mean? Well, in the context that you find it on here, it's obviously in parts a blessing. It's giving a blessing to those that, part of the blessing, it's a vital part of the blessing. But making his face shine upon you obviously implies that God doesn't necessarily shine on everyone. And also, when you think of it, you number of verses where Israel is asking God not to hide his face from us. And as far as Deuteronomy 31, in the lead up to the Song of Moses, the one that became Jesus Christ actually says, I will surely hide my face because of the evil being done. But what I want to do today is I want to remind us of another aspect. Obviously, that is blessing. The Eternal make his face shine upon you, and that is certainly part of the blessing that is put on Israel. But there is another aspect, because when you're looking at making his face shine upon you, we have in the English, we have the face lights up. You know, somebody's face lights up, and therefore they're happy, they're joyful. But there's another aspect as well. If you say the face is blazing, it's the same thing, the face is lighting up, but it's not. It's a totally different meaning altogether. Because there's also, as far as God is concerned, there's also the power in the shining of the face. And this aspect is a very important aspect, and it's something that we need to keep in mind, particularly as we go in towards the end time, because it is a case of the face blazing against the evil that will be done to us. And so the three aspects I want to actually bring out today, three scriptures I want to highlight. One is the power that's emphasized to Moses, because the power of the face is emphasized to Moses. Secondly, the power that is seen in Psalm 80, and we'll sing at Psalm 80 following the sermonette. I've asked Mr. Henderson to lead us in that Psalm 80. And finally, there's two aspects in the book of Malachi. We see the face lighting up in one sense as a blessing, and the face blazing against his enemies as a curse. But let's have a look at this first one over in Exodus 34. In Exodus 34. Now here, God actually comes in front of Moses and then declares his glory to Moses. And in Exodus 34, verse 5, it says, the Eternal descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Eternal, the authority of the Eternal, the glory of the Eternal. The Eternal passed by before him and proclaimed the Eternal God, merciful, gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth. So there is the blessing. This is certainly the blessing that you find. But notice in the preceding chapter what it says. And it says in verse 18 of Exodus 33, he says, and he said, I beseech you, show me your glory. Now there's two aspects to the glory. One is what he's saying as far as the blessing that is coming from God. But he goes on and he talks about, in verse 20, it says, and he said, you cannot see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. Now he's not just talking about his face there, because just a few verses before, it says in verse 11, it says, the Eternal spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. So he'd already spoken to the one that became Jesus Christ face to face, and he'd actually talked to him face to face. So he'd seen his face. But this is all in the context of verse 18, I beseech you, show me your glory. And he said, you cannot see my face, and for there's no man can see me and live. So there's a power in the shining of the face. And it's this power that we mustn't lose sight of in the years to come, in the time that we're going to be living in. Because although the shining of the face is a blessing, and it's certainly the face lighting up that we have in English, there is this face blazing, because there's going to be wickedness there. We'll be able to see the wickedness. We need to understand and keep in mind this aspect, this other aspect given here there. It come to pass that while my glory passes by, so it's his glory that is shining from his face and shining from the rest of his body as well. And let's face it, you and I will also have that similar glory as well. And when it come to pass that when my glory passes by, I'll put you in a cleft in the rock, and I'll cover you with my hand, and I pass by, and I'll take away my hand, and you'll see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. Because if the face shone, that would be the end of Moses. And so there's this aspect that is also within Scripture that is not immediately apparent, necessarily, and yet is something we need to keep in mind, that it, the face shining, it's not just the face lighting up and being a blessing to the people involved, but it's also the face blazing, and the face blazing against the evil that's there. Let's turn over to Psalm 80. Just have a look at this particular psalm and just notice what it actually says, because in Psalm 80, it's given in different respects. It's given, the two respects can be seen coming out of it. It says, "Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, and you that lead Joseph like a flock, you that dwell between the cherubim, shine forth." Now, if you go to the end of Exodus, you put in your notes, it's Exodus 40, but in the end of Exodus, you'll find that the glory of the Eternal filled the tabernacle at the beginning, when the tabernacle was first inaugurated, or whatever you do to a tabernacle, when it was first came into existence, into use, the glory of the Eternal went into the tabernacle, and Moses could not go in. Literally, it was so bright, so intense, that Moses couldn't actually enter. So it says, "You that dwell between the cherubim," and presumably this glowing being would have been between the cherubim on the Ark of the Covenant. "You that dwell between the cherubim, shine forth before Ephraim, Benjamin, and Manasseh. Stir up your, notice, your strength, and come and save us." Now here is not the face lighting up in a blessing, but it's actually the face blazing against the enemies, as we'll go on and see. "Turn us again, O God, and cause your face to shine, and we shall be saved, we shall be rescued." So there's this aspect we can come out in this psalm. "O Eternal God of hosts, how long will you be angry against the prayer for your people? You feed them with the bread of tears. You give them tears to drink in great measure. You make us a strife to our neighbors, and our enemies laugh among themselves." So again, there's a problem with their enemies. So the next verse, which is largely a repeat of verse 3, it says, "Turn us again." It's almost like a refrain. "O God of hosts, and cause your face to shine, and we shall be saved, we shall be rescued." It's much more a case of the face blazing in this instance. "You that have brought a vine out of Egypt, you have cast off the heathen and planted it." And as we read through this, you do wonder whether there's an application also to the church today. Because we are shattered in the church today. And, you know, just read what it says. It says, "You brought a vine out of Egypt, you cast out the heathen and planted it. You prepared room for it. You did cause it to take deep root, and it filled the land. The hills were covered with the shadow of it, and the boughs thereof were like goodly cedars. She sent out her boughs to the sea," that's the Mediterranean, "and her branches to the river," that would be the Euphrates, so Israel originally. "Why has you then broken down her hedges, so that all they that pass by in the way may pluck her? The boar out of the wood we waste it, and the wild beast of the field does devour it. Return, we beseech you, O God of hosts. Look down from heaven and behold and visit this vine, and the vineyard which your right hand has planted, and the branch that you have made strong for yourself. It's burned with fire, it's cut down, it perish in the rebuke of your countenance." Notice the rebuke of your countenance is actually being directed against them. "Let your hand be upon the man of your right hand." And you wonder whether in fact it's referring to the Messiah at this particular juncture. "Upon the Son of Man, whom you made strong for yourself, and so will not we be going back from you. Make us alive, quicken us, and we will be calling upon your name." So in other words, the repentance is there. "Turn us again, O Eternal God of hosts." Now, it's interesting, when you look at these three refrains, the first one says, "Turn us again, O God," O Elohim, in other words. The other one says, "Turn us again, O God of hosts," God of armies, again, fighting against our battles. But this one is, "Turn us again, O Eternal God of hosts." You're using the name Eternal in that case. "Cause your face to shine and we shall be saved." There's an element there of the face lighting up and in benevolence towards Israel, towards the ones being rescued. But I want you to point out the two aspects that are there. One is the face lighting up, the other is the face blazing. Both go together And both are certainly applicable in that regard. If we go to Malachi, turn over to Malachi, we don't find the phrase making his face shine, but we find something very similar in Malachi, the two aspects in the book of Malachi. And it's interesting as well, when you think about Malachi in Malachi chapter 4, that particular section, it talks about, remember the law of Moses, my servants, and behold, I'll send you Elijah the prophet. At the Transfiguration, you have the fact you've got Elijah and Moses there with Christ during the Transfiguration. It's referring back to Elijah the prophet, which is again in Matthew 17 there. But in the Transfiguration, the face is shining as the sun. That was the primary change that seems to be made. And in Malachi chapter 4, it says, for behold, the day comes that shall burn as an oven. Now, what happens when the day comes? Well, the sun rises. That's what, how you get a day. A day comes when the sun rises. And all the proud, yes, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that comes shall burn them up, says the Eternal of Hosts, that will leave them neither root nor branch. So the day it's referring to is into the future, a time when Gehenna fire will burn them up and leave neither root nor branch. That's the day specifically. But unto you that fear my name shall the Sun of Righteousness arise. So the sun shall arise, the day will start, and this will be the day of God, the day of the Lord, the day of God that will go on for eternity, as we are in the day of Satan right now. But unto you that fear my name shall the Sun of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. So here we see the face lighting up and giving healing in its wings, as opposed to the face blazing in the preceding verse. And you shall go and grow up as calves from the stall, or leap as a calf released from the stall, as I've brought out in previous sermons before. We see the two aspects there of the face shining. As I said, it is, when you look at the Transfiguration, you see the face shining as the sun in full strength, and certainly the returning Christ will have both the face lighting up towards his people, but also be the face blazing as well. And it then goes on. So the main meaning of making his face shine is indeed a blessing. But there is this secondary aspect, of the power to save us from our enemies. And this section here in Malachi 4 certainly brings it out and puts the crowning part on that aspect. When it says in verse 3, and you shall tread down the wicked, but they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, says the Eternal of Hosts. So we see the face lighting up, certainly, but we also see the face blazing against his enemies.